from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. 301-984-9570 is the number. My friends, we have a very, very special show today. I just want all of you to know, before we get into today's news events, JeffCooner.com is live and online. Just go to www.JeffCooner.com. You'll have all of my articles up there. We have an archive of all of the shows that I've done up there. We're in the process of uploading that, but it is now live. And also, my friends, I am off for 2 weeks. Beginning tomorrow, I'll be off to Europe for 2 weeks. I'll talk about that later, why. It's a very personal, very important trip to me. So this will be the last Cooner Show for a while, for 2 weeks. Go to JeffCooner.com. There will be some very dramatic announcements when I get back about the future of the Cooner Show and our plans to be nationally syndicated. So please keep checking JeffCooner.com. When I get back in about 2 weeks, September 28th, you will hear a lot more information that we have about the Cooner Show. If you can, register so we get your name up there. We will not give it out to anybody. You have my word of honor. No advertisers, no outside people will know about it. But register your email address, and we'll get you all on the database. It'll only be for Jeff Cooner fans, and we will send you information regarding the plans for the Cooner Show in terms of going national, because we may be changing time slots. My friends, there is a lot to talk about. We will talk about the Ground Zero Mosque and the Quran burning controversy later to give you the fallout on that. But first, the issue clearly that emerged over the weekend is John Boehner's decision, the House Republican leader's decision, to come out and open the door for a compromise on whether the Bush tax cuts will be extended. As many of you know, the Obama White House has now come out with a new strategy for the November elections, knowing that they're going to lose badly in November, seeing Obama's poll numbers plummeting, having many Democrats now openly run against Obama's tax, borrow, and spend agenda. Even some congressmen Democrats running ads against Nancy Pelosi herself, the witch of the West, Nancy the Piranha Pelosi. Even Democrats are now running and distancing themselves from Obama. So now the dear leader is going to the well one last time to play the class warfare card. He wants to now drum up class warfare rhetoric to pit working class Americans against, you guessed it, the rich. And so what Obama and the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats have been touting is, yes, they want to extend the Bush tax cuts for a couple of years for those that make $250,000 and less. In other words, for the middle and working class. But they want to rescind the Bush tax cuts, which are set to expire this January 2011, for those that make above $250,000. In other words, for millionaires and billionaires. And so Obama has now thrown down the gauntlet, and he has now challenged John Boehner. Will you defend tax cuts for the rich, or will you defend tax cuts for the middle class and the working class? Are you for the rich, or are you for the people? If this is the kind of leadership we're going to get from a Republican majority Congress come November, I'm not sure I'm very thrilled about the Republicans coming back into power, because John Boehner yesterday did the talk show rounds and already began to capitulate, saying, well, if the choice is between extending some middle-class tax cuts or not extending any tax cuts, I'd rather extend the middle-class tax cuts and impose the tax hikes on the rich, and maybe we can work something out when we get back into power next year, maybe. In other words, Boehner was clearly signaling he was willing to deal and compromise. Now, many of you may say, Jeff, aren't you for the middle class? Aren't you for small businesses? Aren't you for the working man? Why don't you support the extension of the Bush tax cuts for the middle class? I do. But I support them for everybody. And my friends, here is why. And there is no getting around this point. I am not a shill for the rich. Believe me, I don't make anywhere near $250,000, never mind a million or a billion or whatever figure you want. But the facts are facts are facts. And economics is economics is economics. Raising the tax rates on those that make above $250,000, you're not just soaking lifestyles of the rich and famous. You're not just soaking the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates of this world, the Al Gores of this world, the John Kerrys of this world. Who you are really soaking are the majority of small businesses. And to be specific, small businesses that employ between 20 to 50 employees, the heart and soul of job creation, the heart and soul of the economic engine of this country, they're the ones that are going to get hosed. They're the ones that are going to see their tax rates explode to 39-40%. Now, what happens when you raise taxes on small businesses, on the so-called rich? They don't hire. Obviously, they're not going to hire. And if they, and once those taxes come down, they pass on the costs to you, the consumer, to help them pay these increases in taxes. So you get it both ways. Jobs aren't created. You're not going to get off the unemployment lines. There is no economic growth, and you get stuck with higher prices. So you get it everywhere. So for this man, the dear leader, to go around and say, oh, he's a champion of the working man, he's a champion of the working class, he's for the little guy because he's against tax cuts for the rich, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't give a damn about the working class. He doesn't give a damn about workers, because tax hikes, tax increases destroy jobs, destroy investment, destroy confidence, destroy economic growth. I'm not struggling financially because some guy down my street is rich. This is the game that the Democrats and the left have been playing for decades. This goes back to Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto, that somehow I'm poor because the rich are rich. No. My friends, remember this. I used to always say this to my students. It is one of the most important lessons that philosophers and economists realized that we have forgotten over the last several decades. The state of man, the natural state of man, it's not wealth, it's poverty. You go through human history, it doesn't matter what society, what culture, look around you today. The natural state of humanity is poverty. Latin America, poor. Africa, poor. Large parts of Asia, poor. Middle East, poor. Eastern Europe, poor. Former Soviet Union, poor. What needs to be explained is not poverty. That's been with us from the beginning of time. It is almost the natural condition of man. It is wealth that has to be explained. Why are some societies, very few of them, wealthy? And the answer is private property, the rule of law, and the free market. This is what our founding fathers understood. That if you allow, you unleash human dynamism, human freedom, reward initiative, reward hard work by letting people keep the fruits of their labor, by letting them keep what they own, what they make, you encourage more work, more productivity, more wealth, more growth. And this is the seminal contradiction of the Democrats. They keep telling us over and over and over again, they are the party of the little guy. They are the party of the working man. They are the party of the lower middle class. But have you noticed? Every policy that they advocate is harmful, detrimental, and destructive to the working man. Their policies are the ones that tax him to the hilt. Their policies are the ones that run jobs out of this country. Their policies are the ones that deny working people the ability to earn and make enough so they can be successful. This is what the Democrats have been doing for decades, getting people addicted to welfare and government handouts, not to make them citizens, but to make them serfs and slaves of the state. In other words, what the Democrats care about, what the liberals care about, is not social justice. It is power. It is to maximize their power, to control you. By controlling what you make, by controlling where you what you can do, by controlling almost every aspect of your life. That's why they want to own your pensions, your unemployment, your health care. They want to even decide whether you can unionize or not. They want to control every aspect of your life, including even what you eat. Just today, the dear leader's wife, Michelle Antoinette, gave another speech to the National Restaurant Association. What is Michelle now telling all the national restaurant owners, all the restaurant owners of America? You guessed it. You have to change your menus. You have to. You have to change your menus. It's too unhealthy. Use less butter and cream when you cook. They're now telling chefs and restaurant owners what they can or can't put in their food. No. Give more apple slices, more carrots as an option menu for the kids. You mean to tell me that a man who runs his own restaurant or a woman that runs her own restaurant doesn't know what her clientele wants? You know what they want. You know what the clientele wants more than the restaurant owner. Look at the arrogance of Michelle Antoinette. Look at how they have now gotten so totalitarian. They're telling us what light bulbs we can buy. What cars we can make, what cars we can drive. Now they're even telling us how we should feed our kids. You mean to tell me as a parent, I can't go to a restaurant and order what's good for my kid? I have to have something put on the menu for my kids because I don't know what to order? Because this restaurant owner doesn't know what to put for his kids? No, the restaurant owner doesn't know what his customers want. No. So now they're telling us, ease off on the butter. Ease off on the cream. No. Hey, serve more oregano. That's what we want. And Brussels sprouts. Look at the absolute arrogance, the totalitarian nature of the modern liberal left. And now, in the face of this juggernaut, where you now have the Obama administration publicly coming out and saying, we want to soak the rich. It's going to be one of the biggest tax increases in American history if the Bush tax rates are rescinded. If those tax cuts are rescinded come January on the so-called rich, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to lead to more unemployment. More small businesses are going to go under. Less jobs are going to be created. More economic uncertainty is going to be created. Unemployment is not going to go up. It's not going to go down. It's going to go up. And what does John Boehner say? The vaunted House Republican leader? I'm willing to deal. That's exactly the kind of Republican Party that made them lose their majority in 2006 and has led to an uprising among the Tea Party movement. And my question to you is a simple one. What do you think about the Bush tax cuts being rescinded coming January to 2011? Should they or shouldn't they? And what do you make about the fact that Boehner is already crumbling before they even have a debate, before the bill is even put on the House floor? Is Boehner the man to be the House Republican leader? I want to hear from you. 301-984-9570. This is Jeff Cooner, the last honest man in Washington.
If you drive your car, I'll touch the street. If you try to sit, I'll touch your feet.
301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT. 301-984-9570 is the number. Also, we've just officially launched the Jeff Cooner website, www.jeffcooner.com. Go to that website. I'm off for 2 weeks starting tomorrow, but we will have dramatic news about the future of the Cooner Show and our plans to be nationally syndicated. So please check that website regularly. Let's go to our good buddy Steve from conservativemonster.com on line four. Steve, thanks for holding and welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
My pleasure. Steve, hold on. Before you continue,
yeah.
I mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again.
You gotta
have a feather in your cap, my buddy, because you were the one that tipped me off about Reverend Terry Jones, the whole Quran burning incident, way before anybody else did. The mainstream media, everybody else in conservative talk radio, you were the one that sent me the email saying, hey, this guy's getting Al-Qaeda style death threats. You gotta look into this. And we had Terry Jones on. So Steve, kudos to you, buddy, because you were ahead of the news curve.
Oh, thank you, boy. Thank you. I appreciate that. But, Jeff, you know, first of all, about these tax cuts, you know, we know that they're going to most likely, if they get anything through, they're going to end after the 2012 election. But, you know, Jeff, I've been dying to ask you this question.
Sure.
It's related to the economy, and it's something right up your alley, the unions. Now, I was union my whole life, and, you know, they were good to me. I can't complain. But, you know, it's getting to a point where, you know, there is a lot of corruption, obviously. You know, and I feel that they're being used as useful idiots by the left. You know, they're funding this, you know, SEIU is funding this whole agenda. But now, do you see anything like, I anticipate amnesty for illegal aliens, and then they're going to flood the unions with all of these new citizens, and then there'll be a massive government bailout, and then the government will control all unions through a centralized entity, and then they'll lower all the wages for the good of the state. So now, I anticipate, like, all of these people in the unions are going to actually get burned in the long run, because I see this down the pike. What do you think about that theory?
Steve, I think your insight is dead on. I would slightly disagree with you. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're about 99% right. Here's where I slightly disagree with you. What is very clear from what George Soros has said, from what Saul Alinsky advocated, from what Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, from the SEIU, what they've all been saying now is this. They want massive amnesty for 20 million illegal immigrants. Why? So that will give them that will allow a permanent Democratic voting bloc in America. Many of them will then be put into unions. Now, what Obama is trying to do is the Venezuela model. You see it in large parts of Western Europe. Actually, Hitler was the one that started this, which is create big labor as a permanent power in society. Wed them to big government. So what you've been seeing in California, in New York State, in New Jersey, in Illinois, is you have the public sector become so powerful that the public unions are now stronger than the private unions. So they keep holding government hostages. Here's how it works. You raise their salaries, you raise their benefits. The unions then raise the money, put it back into the politicians' campaign coffers, help get them reelected, and then they return the favor by raising their wages and raising benefits. Eventually, this leads to bankruptcy. We see it in Greece. We see it in Portugal. We see it everywhere. Here is where I slightly disagree with you, Steve. They're going to get a lot of these illegals into these unions. They're then going to empower the unions and give them privileged status. For example, card check. Make it almost impossible to vote against a union because you're going to be intimidated into saying, yes, I want a union, no secret ballot. They're not going to lower the wages. What they're going to do is the opposite. They're going to keep raising the wages and raise and raise and raise to buy votes. That's what they do all over the world. But in the end, it's a Ponzi scheme. Everything collapses because you can't sustain these wages. Prices go up. The cost of goods goes up, the budget gets busted, it leads to bankruptcy. Fidel Castro, Steve, I swear to you, I couldn't make this up myself. Fidel Castro, in an interview over the weekend, said, The Cuban political economic model has failed. A command and control economy is the death of any society. The great Marxist, the great socialist has said, the more you unionize, the more you tax, the more you spend, the more you regulate, the more you nationalize, the more ultimately you destroy wealth and jobs. Castro has said socialism has failed. Apparently the dear leader didn't get the memo. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT, coming right back at you after the break.
Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. Go to jeffcooner.com, www.jeffcooner.com. We have the website is up and running. It is live. We are off on vacation for a good 2 weeks. I am anyway off to Europe. Ray's going to take it easy as well. Kicking back, following the dear leader's lead here. Everybody's on vacation. But there will be some dramatic news about our attempts to be nationally syndicated. It could mean a change in time slot. So please go to our website and follow it. We'll have some information from you in about 2 weeks. Let's go to Matt in Fairfax, our big Dallas Cowboys fan. Matt, I got to tell you, Ray's been doing cartwheels all day today. He is so happy that his Redskins won. That's hail to the chief, by the way, if you don't know that. That's Redskins all the way, baby.
I learned this before most nursery rhymes.
That's Ray's team. It's Ray's song. I'll be honest with you, Matt. Between you and me, I thought the Cowboys should have won. I thought they blew it.
But they beat themselves, which is the best part.
I got to tell you, I was not impressed with the Redskins at all last night, Ray.
This is an omen, Jeff. Good winning things coming to D.C., my friends.
I said, Ray, if they go 6-10 this year, I'd be happy. I count my blessings, Ray.
Well, you know, Dallas was just doing their part, trying to give them a charity game. just trying to help out, you know, with that charity team, you know.
Honestly, you think Ray won the gold medal the way he was so happy today?
Well, he should be happy. I mean, he got a freebie last night.
Hey, what's on your mind, my friend?
All right, well, let's go back to Boehner here for a minute. I had the same reaction you did when I first heard what Boehner said. It was an emotional reaction, and I agree if you look at it through an emotional reaction that, yeah, I would agree that was a bad thing. But then when you start thinking about what Boehner really said and the position the House Republicans are in, first of all, you have to have somebody to negotiate with. There's nobody on the other side wanting to negotiate. Second of all, there's no reason for the Democrats to negotiate because the House Republicans can't stop anything. That's
Excellent.
Part of the problem.
Excellent.
So with now the choice given to Boehner is like, okay, you vote for this or you vote against it. Well, of course I'm going to vote for the tax, keep to the tax cuts for anybody you give me. If I have my choice, would I not put them all on the table? Well, of course I would. But if my choice is between the economy going into a Great Depression by not having anybody's taxes, by having everybody's taxes go up, that's exactly what would happen, or maybe just having the recession continue, of course, what do you think you're going to vote with? You have no choice.
Matt. I mean, look, you make a very good point, and thanks for that call, buddy. I mean, that's Boehner's thinking. That's what Boehner said afterwards when he explained his comments. Matt, I'll be very frank. I am tired of seeing Republicans constantly compromise and capitulate. Here would have been my response. It's an up or down offer. It's a take it or leave it offer. It's an up or down vote. We want all of the tax cuts extended because they're good for America. If you're not willing to extend all of them, well, then tough. It's a take it or leave it offer. We're not going to play these games. We're not going to demonize the rich. We're not going to demonize small business, because in the end, you can play politics all you want with this, dear leader, Mr. President, but in the end, it's small business that's going to get hosed down with these tax increases, and we are here to defend small business. I would flip it. They want to play the rich versus the poor, working class versus the wealthy. I would flip it. I would say it's small business and job creation versus class warfare and tax hikes. Take your pick. Do you support small business or not? If you do, support the full extension of the Bush tax cuts. Now, that to me is a principled position. It's a muscular position. And whether Boehner and the Republicans know it or not, it's also a politically winning position. But look how they always allow the Democrats, always allow the liberals to frame the debate. This is what I find amazing. Every time, they're always on the defensive. Even now, you're seeing it with Obamacare. It's repeal and replace. Well, replace with what? You're putting up your own plan now to be targeted and attacked. Why not just say repeal? We never wanted it. 60% of Americans oppose it. It's already imposing crushing costs upon businesses, which is another reason why nobody's hiring. Deficits are soaring because of this plan. Everything you said about this bill, about Obamacare, has turned out to be a lie. It hasn't saved costs. Deficits are skyrocketing. It's killing jobs. It's rationing care. It's been a disaster on every front. It is so bad. Have you noticed, Matt, members of the Cooner Country, not one Democrat, not one, has run a positive ad anywhere in this country in favor of Obamacare. If it was such a political winner, such a policy winner, such a health care winner, Obama said, greatest piece of legislation we ever passed, Dirty Harry Reid, this was going to make the Democrats come November. We were going to be the party that gave everybody health care. If it's such a great bill, if it's such a landmark bill, why don't you run on it? Why don't you tout it? Why don't you say, you want to go mano to mano? You want to go mano to mano on Obamacare? Let's go mano to mano. They run like the cowards that they are because they know what a disaster it's been. And so my question to the Republicans is this, replace with what? Why? Because you don't want to be targeted as the party that's opposed to health care? No. What you say is this. This is the Cooner response. This is the Tea Party response. This is the common sense conservative response. You do not destroy the greatest health care system in the world. You don't do it. Ever. Our health care system was the best. It was the envy of the world. Now, you want to add a few more million people to the rolls, which is essentially all that's left, to give us genuine universal health care. Look, you don't want to have health care, that's your right. But everybody should have the access to health care, an opportunity to have health care. There are many ways that we can do this. But first, do no harm. The Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. This Obamacare does plenty of harm. Repeal it completely, root and branch. And then we'll talk about incremental reforms. That's my policy. That should be the Republican policy. And they're already backsliding on that. My friends, I've been warning them. They don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. I was at a Tea Party rally on Saturday. 7,500 people showed up. I didn't speak. My wonderful wife did. But let me tell you what many of them were saying. And many people around the country are saying the same thing in rally after rally. If the Republicans do not stand up for limited government, low taxes, and balanced budgets, if they are not willing to cut spending, to repeal Obamacare, to cut our taxes, to get the government off our back and restore fiscal sanity to this country, then, my friends, you will see a third party. The Republicans don't realize how much fire and fury there is out there. There is now a second American Revolution brewing. I saw it with my own eyes on Saturday. It is, to me, it reminds me of 1775. It's not going to be violent. There's going to be no guns. There's going to be no firing. There's going to be no shots are going to be fired. We're not going to overthrow King George III. You know, libs, relax. All the liberals, relax. But what you're going to see is a political revolution, a civil revolution. a historical revolution, a cultural revolution. And many people have had it. And the Republicans don't realize if they don't stand up to this liberal regime, and I mean oppose them frontally, courageously, with everything they have, you are going to see a third party emerge. And it will shatter the Republicans. So either you get on the conservative bandwagon and you have the strength of your convictions, or get out of the way. Let's go to Victor on line two. Victor, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thanks. I've made up a commercial, more or less, for the Tea Party candidates. And it goes something like this. Hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm running for either the House or the Senate. In the background, you see the roll call for the vote on health care. You will hear my opponent vote aye. Ditto with the Senate. Now we see the roll call for tax and spend. You note my opponent again vote aye. And now we're seeing cap and trade. Once again, you see my opponent voting aye.
And our answer should be nay. We vote nay on Obamacare, on cap and trade, on amnesty for illegal immigration, on the stimulus, on suing the state of Arizona. Nay, 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 nay. My friends, if the Democrats want to call conservatives, and in particular Republicans, the party of no, wear it as a badge of honor. I would say, yeah, we are the party of no. No to reckless spending. No to out-of-control deficits. No to this socialist monstrosity known as Obamacare. No to record debt. No to nearly 10% unemployment. No to bowing to the world. No to defeat in Afghanistan. No, 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 no. Yes, we are the party of no. We are tired of your Obama socialist liberal regime. No. This is the United States of America. And to those that want the United Socialist States of America, no. Better yet, in Russian, nyet. Let's go to Julie in Bethesda on line four. Julie, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, I wanted to comment about this imam in New York. He wants this country to have Sharia law. And I notice his wife is not walking around in a burqa, but he wants to put us in a burqa. And the other thing is, I'm tired of Michelle Obama telling us what we can eat and what our children can eat. I think she's looking a little porky, and I think she should be counting her calories.
You know, Julie, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, by the way, Julie, I'm going to have a lot more on this imam. Just stay about ten more minutes. Believe me, this guy, honestly, with this, it doesn't end with this guy. It's like a rotten onion. You keep peeling one layer, and it gets more rotten as you peel it. But I got to tell you this about Michelle, Julie. She's lecturing us on how restaurants have to give us healthier food, and we have to make healthier food choices. Michelle, with all due respect, look at yourself and look at your kids. Stop pounding the Haagen-Dazs. Stop it with the five-course meals. Stop it with all the lobster. Your kids are becoming overweight. So rather than criticizing us, A, look into your own home first. Tend to your own garden before telling us how to run ours. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570. We'll be right back here on the Cooner Show.
America's champion of liberty, the Cooner Show. It's Cooner time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570, www.jeffcooner.com, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. The site is up and live. Let's go to Shane in Rockville on line one. Shane, thanks for holding, and welcome to the Cooner Show, my friend.
Hey, Cooner, I'm going to say this again, hoping that somebody in the stupid party is listening. The biggest weapon used against Republicans is they're for the rich. Tomorrow they could meet and have a press conference saying we're taking a 50% pay cut permanently. it would not be the party of the rich anymore, would they? I just don't understand why they don't do something so simple.
Well, and Shane, you're right. I would have them do that, but why not just do this? Just hold a press conference and say, if we're for the rich, tell me, why is it that the overwhelming numbers of our supporters are from the middle and lower middle class? People don't realize this. People of working class, lower middle class income brackets overwhelmingly vote for the Republican Party. The Democrats are essentially the party of essentially two categories. People on welfare and the super rich, the Hollywood elite. They're the ones in bed with Wall Street. They're the ones in bed with Hollywood. They're the ones in bed with all of these sort of rich, guilt-ridden liberals. So if I'm the Republicans, I go, yeah, we're the party of the middle. We're the party of middle America. We're the party of the middle class. We're the party of the heartland. So don't tell me we're for the rich. Why do we not want tax hikes on those above $250,000? Is it because we love lifestyles of the rich and famous? No. Because we know who creates the jobs. And I have news for the Democrats. It's not your person receiving welfare. It's not your government bureaucrat making $80,000 a year. He's not the person that's going to create wealth for you. It's the entrepreneur. It's the small business owner. So, I mean, Shane, I would just have them do that. But you see, that takes guts. And they don't want, Shane, trust me on this. You know what they want? They want that front page profile piece in the Washington Post.
That's why I'm an independent now. I don't feel like anybody in the government represents me anymore.
Shane, I heard that all weekend in the Tea Party rally. A lot of people say that. I feel disenfranchised. I feel alienated. I feel abandoned. And that's why I've been warning Republicans, a nationalist conservative insurgency is now underfoot. And unless these people wake up here in Washington, Shane, you and I are going to form our own third party, buddy.
Amen.
See you in the White House, buddy.
Sign me up.
Let's go to John in Bethesda on line 3. John, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, my friend.
John Boehner, he's such a coward. Another thing he needs to bring up is this has been happening, I would say, since the first Bush, but we've been making easy credit, easy money policies that punish people who save and produce and reward excess consumption. And if you look at our country, it used to be the largest creditor, now we're the largest debtor nation. Look at the credit card debt, the mortgage debt. And what I would say is, yes, we're for extending the tax cuts on the wealthy. And I would say, you know why the Democrats say, oh, well, the wealthy just save their money, they don't spend it. That's what people need to be doing. And if they're the only people that save their money and not spend it, then they're the only ones that should get the break.
You nailed it.
Save.
You nailed it. John, you nailed it. We, at one time, when we were rising as a superpower, 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, we were not just the biggest creditor nation in the world. You know, after World War II, we lent the world money. After World War I, we lent the world money. We were also a nation of producers and savers. We had the largest savings rate in the world. Americans were known. I kid you not. You know what our reputation was? The American worker is the finest worker in the world. And not only does he produce the best products, he saves the most money. That's why, in the end, so many Americans are able to purchase a house, purchase a Ford car, purchase a good... that's why we had... The average American would have a nice plot of land, a nice backyard, a nice home, a nice car, money to pay for college tuition. We used to be the envy of the world. And then came the 60s. And when the 60s came, it was spend, spend, spend. Live it up on your credit card. You want it? Buy it. Buy today. Pay tomorrow. That was the mantra, my friends. And now we've gone from a nation of producers to a nation of consumers, from a nation of savers to a nation of debtors. We are now the largest indebted nation in the world. It took us 40 years to wreck it. And so, my friends, if we don't turn things around, if we don't return to our conservative roots as a country, we are going to go the way of Rome, of ancient Greece, and of every other great country in the world. My friends, conservatism is the only thing that can save us. You know it, I know it. And now it's time for us to spread this message all across America. This is Jeff Cooner on Cooner Country here on 570 WTNT. the last honest man in Washington. Stay tuned. We have some explosive audio clips to play from the Ground Zero Mosque Imam. That and so much more on the Cooner Show.
The Cooner Show.
Cooner Show.